So it's going to be, hopefully, I guess it's going to be short this morning because I left my notes at work. So I'm just all around just a mess this morning, but we're going to pray the Lord blesses it anyway. But last week we kind of talked about the general call of God and whether to accept it or reject it. And it's a lot bigger subject than I think I made it of last week. I don't think it did a great job of presenting it. But when God tells you to do something, you ought to do it. It's not some arbitrary calling that he sat there and just, you know, did a bingo bucket and turn around and hear the ball pops out, so he calls it out and that's what you're doing. That's not how it's going to work. God knows your life. He knows everybody in your life. He knows the direction of your life. And God gives you that direction for your life. Just like here when he commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh and cry against it, for their wickedness was great. Why was Jonah the man for the job? It never really tells us, you know, all through the Bible. It never really gives an explanation or a history or anything about Jonah that would give us, you know, human here, why he would be the man to go to Nineveh. But it's not our place to question that. Our place is to realize that that is where God wanted Jonah to go. So, something we want to hit on this morning is God's called all of us to do something. Whether it's just live our life for God or do something higher than that, if you will. Something more than that. Give more than that. So where are you in this calling? We're going to read through just a little of it so I can have a great illustration like that one guy did. So we're just going to go ahead and skip to... we'll just go ahead and do verse 15. You know, we know that he jumped on a ship to Tarshish. Why he was going to Tarshish, I don't know, but geographically it's in sort of the other direction from Nineveh, or where they supposed it to be. And so he jumps on a ship. It starts storming, so he goes down and goes to sleep. And from then, the people on the ship begin to realize that, hey, something's causing this. They figure out and trace it back to Jonah, and they question him to where he said, throw me off here and you'll be fine. So jumping on here after they've tried everything else, it says, so they took up Jonah, chapter 1, verse 15. They took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And reading on through chapter 2, it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. But thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds that were wrapped around my head, about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. And we don't need an illustration for all that. But what we're looking at here is God called him to something greater than himself, if you will. And it was staunchly rejected by Jonah, and he ran the other direction. When you feel God give that command to you, when you hear his voice speak to you and give that command to go here or do this or I'm calling you to this, what's your first reaction? Most of us, and you hear a lot of stories, especially in churches like I grew up in, where they first rejected that and said, well, he must have meant this. They reconstrue the words to mean that they can stay in their safe place and worship him where they were at, whether it be they were just a member of the church or their treasurer, a deacon, whatever. They wanted them to serve there, but God wanted them to serve over here. Well, any good Baptist is usually good at twisting it to be where they want to be in the church. And that's a sad fact. Jonah ran the other direction. Maybe he was going to Tarshish to preach to them. That's speculation. Nobody knows. Or he was just running there to go there. But where are you in this process here? You see first that Jonah ran. And that's what we talked about last week. And he ended up on a ship going to Tarshish, going where he wanted to go by his means of transportation. We find a lot of refuge in being part of a church. Even when being called by God to something else, our refuge often comes in the form of church, because that is what God is pleased with in our minds. We can use the church to combat God's call, if you will, to mean what we want it to mean. We don't want to go out and be a missionary. We don't want to evangelize. We don't want to step up and be a preacher. The safest place to be in God's will, but out of His call, in our minds, is the church. We use this church as our ship to Tarshish. We're still doing stuff for God. We're still coming to worship God. We're still coming to hear what God has for us. But are we hearing what God has for us? We can jump on the ship all we want, and when it gets a little rocky, we just go down into it and sleep. We get on the ship, and then we start sleeping, because that storm can also represent God hammering in what He has for you to do. You're not supposed to be here. This is what's happening. We attribute storms in our life way too often to the devil attacking us instead of our own doing. The devil deserves some credit on there, because if we're in the will of God and He's sending storms in our life, we have an anchor that's stronger than the storm. But a lot of times we make trouble for ourselves by running from God. And this storm was not the devil's doing on these people. It was God's doing as His judgment on Jonah. And to try and get Jonah's attention and say, hey, what are you doing there? I told you to go here. Does God know that He knows that He knows? Oh, yeah. But this is just a little reminder that you can't run from me. It says he boarded that ship to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. It was his safe place. And when it come down to it, he still didn't want to listen, so he went down and went to sleep. It's in the context, it was already storming when he went down to go to bed. Are you asleep? Have you been running so hard and so long, but you don't want to pay attention, so you just go to sleep? You just stop it all. Worship is stale. Church is just something you do to make yourself feel better. Not something you think about all through the week. The best way to put out God's presence is to stop paying attention to His presence. Running is not always it's seemingly in the other direction, but you're trying to stay where, you're still in the will of God. You're making up your will of God. And that's what the will of God's turned into in the most churches, is whatever you feel that God has you to do. You feel that God has you to do. That's just like an oxymoron. So you either know what God wants you to do, or you feel God wants you to do this. Jumping on that ship to Tarshish, maybe that's what he felt like God wanted him to do, These people might repent a little quicker, so let me go here and make a little side trip to Nineveh, maybe. No. That's not the way it works. And it's not the way it works in your life, either. And enough storming, you just get tired of it. And so you just start, you're already doing things your own way. And you're kind of seeing how it works out, but you're attributing it all to God. You bring back that God of self to help run your life, because you really don't want to go over here and do this. So are you on the ship? Are you asleep? Well, God's going to send somebody to wake you up. This story is very much almost a parable of how life works. God will send somebody to wake you up and say, hey, do you know why the storm is going on right now? Do you know why? Do you know why this is happening? Why we can't lighten the ship? Why we can't do anything? Jonah was essentially dead weight on that ship. They'd thrown everything else off. Even after he told them, hey, throw me off and we'll be doing good, they still threw everything else off to try and lighten the load. But in the end, he had to give up and be thrown off the ship. You notice he didn't jump off the ship. He had to be thrown off. How often are we like that? We know what needs to be done. We know what needs to be surrendered. We know what needs to be cut out. But we won't throw it off the ship. We won't cut it loose. We'll just keep letting it drag us down in that storm. We'll keep letting that storm rage. At the risk of hurting other people in that ship, we'll keep it. We'll keep using it, looking at it, messing with it, whatever it is, habits, things. Even if it costs the ship to go down, we'll still hang on to it. God's called us to be bigger than that. Our God is bigger than that. If you're truly serving Him, then it won't take no time to throw it off. What are you using as a ship? And who are you dragging down with you? This running from God's calling, it doesn't just involve you. And we kind of hit on that last week. But especially if you're in a church and you're avoiding it or running from it, it involves everybody. The church is a body, not an arm here and a leg there. If you allow your life to be out of sync with God, then that brings the whole ship down. But notice after he was thrown off, finally, that the storm calmed and everything leveled out. He didn't know whether he'd live, whether he would drown, be eaten by a shark or some great whale. He didn't know. He just knew that he was going to be thrown off the ship because that's not where he needed to be. He knew that he needed to be over here and that going that direction is not working anymore. So he just, the first step one of turning around is stopping. But you have to understand that stopping is not always easy. And this, like this guy here, you're not even sure if you can even do it in that moment. But you have to start somewhere. They dumped him off the ship and he fell in the water and started sinking down that water. Did he think, well, I guess I'll start swimming? Chances are he didn't. That water just stayed still. And here comes this great fish that the Lord had sent to swallow him up. He's out in the middle of nowhere. God knew he couldn't swim anywhere. Jonah knew he couldn't swim anywhere. Unless he got a really good power nap. But he stopped. Because he knew that's where it had to start. Turning around isn't always easy, but there is always, always, if it is the true call of God, will of God, it will happen. Down Jonah went, and here comes this fish. This great fish that just swallowed him up. So are you in that belly of the fish yet? Where you've stopped and you re-sought God? The best place for Jonah to have turned around was in the belly of this fish. He had absolutely nothing else to do. Nowhere else to go. I mean, 3 days and three nights doesn't sound that long when you're on vacation, but when you're in the belly of a whale, it's not an ideal resort, you know what I mean? He said there was seaweed in there. I mean, a lot of this is figurative, but I think some of it's literal. You know, seaweed wrapped around his head and everything. And someone showed me a picture, and these people like to go real in depth about all this. But there was pictures of Jonah in the way. He said, now this is the size of an average Jewish man. And they had a picture, and they had another slide. And this is the size of an average whale's belly. And there was another slide. So put those two together, and it was like a man, he had like this much room above his head. And he couldn't roll over and go to sleep. So they talked about how his muscles were cramping, and how he couldn't hardly talk, and there was water probably going in and out of his belly. I mean, it just went over my head, really. But the important part is, he survived in that belly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? God preserved him in the belly of the whale. He was out of the will of God. And he wasn't out of the will of God by accident. He jumped out of the will of God. Like, he opted out later. But when he got right, and it says right here that he would go and do, he says, I will pay that I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And he made that commitment before he even jumped off the ship. With 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, really consecrated it. And while he was getting his life straightened out, God preserved him. He realized what had to be done. He knew what he had to do. And he did it. And the Lord preserved him. Just because you leave God does not mean God leaves you. It's like that little, it's probably geometry. Where there's the circle right here, and there's a dot in the middle, and whatever you draw around that dot is the circumference or whatever, and it can be, you have to measure the distance between that circle and wherever you drew that dot in the circle. That circle is God because it never moves, but you can move that dot anywhere you want. But it always comes back to that circle. That's just the way it is. When you realize that you have to come back for you to live your life the way it ought to be lived, because if you're truly saved, you can't live your life like that forever. Baptists call it backsliding. You know, there's a lot more science to it than just going out back to your bar days and having a big old time about it. That's not backsliding. That's never saving. But not following the call of God for selfish reasons, such as Jonah did here, you can only live that way for so long. Jonah did it for 5 days at best. Are you in the belly of that whale where you realize what you have to do in order to come back into fellowship with God? To come back into the work of God effectively? Because refusing the call of God, I say refusing the call, can you really refuse the call of God if you're his child? Jonah tried it, but it didn't work. And it will never work. If you're called to preach and you decide, well, I just don't want to be a preacher. Moses said that too. You see how it ended up for him. This turning back to God from your awesome decision to not follow that call will strengthen your relationship with God and your understanding of his character even more. And see why he called you to that. Not because you're so awesome and great at the job, but because God can use everybody. And you should be privileged that he chose you to do it. Not because you're a great speaker or you can write a real good sermon, but because God can speak through the lowest of us. If he was using Joel Osteen to speak for him, it wouldn't be as impressive. It might be impressive if not, we know what we know about him. But going back to it, he can speak. He's a good orator. Like he can speak really well, and he can convince people, kind of like a slimy lawyer kind of deal going on there. He's got really white teeth, and he smiles all the time. So it's not that impressive. He's like, he went to college to do it. He was born to do it. Like a car salesman or something. But Ephesians is someone that stutters all the time and mumbles quite a lot, can't quite get his thoughts together, but someone still gets a blessing out of it because it was God's words, not my words. I mean, he can use someone that's fixing the puke and forgot his notes at work, and it still just come back. I don't remember half the stuff I wrote down. I'm going to be honest with you. But Jonah, who knows why he actually stood up and ran away? No one really knows. I mean, it doesn't give in-depth detail into this book. But it shows you all the important parts of it. We don't need the technical details and the histories and how big the whale's belly was and how big Jonah was and how many days he was in there and how much seaweed. He probably had wrapped across where he just had his nose sticking out and he couldn't see nothing. It was dark in there. I mean, who cares? Obviously, it wasn't too wrapped around his head because he was sitting here talking to God. But he prayed, God preserved him, and ultimately delivered him back to do his will. Right here, last verse. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. So if you were in that fish's belly, and you understand what needs to be done, what has to be done, and you've done what's necessary in your heart to come back into fellowship with Christ, you can just pop back out and get to serving again. Except this time, go the correct direction. But it all depends on you. Are you willing to be thrown out of that ship? To stop, to turn around and come back? Or are you so stubborn that you're going to just keep trying your way, keep trying your way, keep trying your way? I'm serving God. I'm doing God's will right now. I know I'm doing God's will. I just feel it in my heart. I'm doing God's will right now. Your feelings will get you nowhere but a sunken ship, somewhere from here to Tarshish. And it seems so counterintuitive to jump out of a ship that's not sunk yet. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Who really wants to be on the water anyway? I was kind of curious about it, you know, living in Alabama, but the more I see about sharks eating people and people getting lost at sea, I mean, I just kind of lost that taste in my mouth, you know what I mean? But I can tell you this, if I was out in the middle of the ocean, the storm was raging and everything, I wouldn't be jumping out of the ship.
I'd go down
with it. I'd be like the captain, man. I'd get me a life preserver and some water wings or something. But the ship was not sunk yet. But the storm was raging so badly and not letting up. Unless something was done, it was going to sink. The cause of the storm was thrown out without reason, without thought of what was going to happen to him. His only concern was getting back to God. His concern was rebuilding communication back. If he tried to pray in that storm right there, God probably would not have listened because he was still out. I mean, he's out of communion. Until here in the whale's belly, the Lord still took care of him. He sent a fish to swallow him up. I mean, he took care of him, and he repented, and the Lord, I mean, is restored right back. But he knew what needed to be done. He jumped out of a moving, floating ship into who knows how many feet of water because that's what he needed to do to get back to God. Are we willing to do what we need to do to get back to God, get back in His will, and do more for Him? Or are we convinced that we can do more for Him doing what we're doing because we know what we're doing? That's a big question. Examine yourself and see if you're doing what you're doing because you know it's God's will, or if you're doing what you're doing because God's giving you His will. Do You can go one route. You can just go straight to Nineveh, or you can jump from a ship to the ocean to the fish, back on there, and then to Nineveh. But it's always going to be a process if you're truly seeking the will of God. If you truly want it, that's a process sometimes. I hate being like this because it's like every time we preach on Jonah, we have to say this, but don't be like Jonah. But if you're going to be like Jonah, end up like Jonah. Don't bring the ship down with you. Be willing to cut ties. Be willing to throw stuff off. Be willing to throw yourself off if that means getting back to God. Be determined to stay with Christ and understand what He has for you, for your life. Not what you feel like you have to do for Christ. It's what you have to do for Christ, not what you feel like you have to do for Christ. That's all I got.